on From the Frontline, we'll be discussing Reformation 500. Dr. Hammond is here to discuss this and tell us how we can make a bold stand for biblical principles in this day of compromise and confusion. Good evening, Dr. Hammond.
Good evening. And is this a day of compromise and confusion?
Absolutely. So, Reformation 500, what does this mean? What's the Reformation 500?
Well, this whole movement started over 12 years ago. I was in Europe on a mission to Europe. I was going in 5 weeks through 11 countries as far afield as Romania, Poland, Germany, Switzerland, all the way up Belgium, Ireland, England. And towards the end of it, the final part was I'd gone through Wittenberg and Zurich and Geneva, and I was standing at the Geneva Wall. And I remember looking at the Geneva Reformation Wall with the great monuments, very imposing, Calvin and Farel with John Knox and Beza, four great French-Swiss Reformation people. And on each side, they've got the pillars for Zwingli and Luther, the foundations of the Reformation. And I'd been in Grossmünster, the great cathedral in Zurich, shortly before, and in Wittenberg. And all came together as I looked on the wall and I saw the date of the birth of John Calvin, 1509. I thought, well, 2009 is coming just in 4 years' time. We need to launch a Calvin 500. Then my mind went back to 2017. Isn't that far away? And it was 1517 when Martin Luther launched the Reformation itself, with nailing 95 theses in the church door in Wittenberg. I'd been at the Schlosskirche just a few weeks before. And then it also sprung to mind, and the Reformation in Switzerland was launched on the 1st of January, 1519. 2019 is not that far away. Okay, so at that point, as in 2005, it was April, just about to turn May in 2005, and the whole thing just came before me, this whole vision, inspiration. We need to launch a Reformation 500 movement, and we need to, perhaps we can start with the Calvin 500. We're heading up to the Calvin's 500th birthday. And so shortly after that, I started writing to a lot of people, Ian Paisley and to R.C. Sproul and James Kennedy and all these different folks talking about, we need to bring out a Reformation study Bible, mm-hmm. which R.C. Sproul immediately took up the challenge, and he produced and he sent us already 2,000 copies free for us to distribute freely.
I didn't know that's how that initiated.
Yes, that was the beginning of the Reformation Study Bible vision. And R.C. Sproul had both the immense academic theological capability, and he had the resources and the ministry, Ligonier Ministries and St. Andrew's Chapel. So he picked up that. And different people that I speak to, Joel Beakey, and he immediately said, yes, sir, we need to work. And he worked on a King James Version study Bible for Reformation as well. And so I was talking to a whole lot of people, George Grant, and getting it from one person to another, Mark Rushdooney, and Jay Grimstead. And Jay Grimstead, who launched the Coalition Revival years ago, immediately said, you know, we're looking for Global Church Council. Maybe we should build these on these Reformation 500s. And so we worked together, sitting in his living room. Right, the first Reformation 500 would be in 2017, Wittenberg, Church Council in Wittenberg. Right, October, just in a run-up to Luther's launching the Reformation, back to the 95 Theses. And then we'll have our next main Church Council in Zurich in 2019, and in Worms, 2021. The thing about Worms is that's where Martin Luther made his final bold stand, which was a total break with Rome, before the emperor, my conscience is captive, the word of God, here I stand, I can do no other. And so we saw these three great Reformation 500s building up. So I came back to South Africa, 2005, mm-hmm. launched the Reformation Society as a direct result of this. And then we started our every week Thursday night meetings on January 2006. So Reformation Society has been going since then. Wow. And 13 years and counting. And I saw the need to start building up these building blocks. So mm-hmm. the very next year, 2006, I produced the first Great Essential Reformation book, which we just revised and expanded last year. we started to work on the Calvin 500, which was super successful. People came from all over the world, from as far afield as South Africa and Korea and Canada and USA and so on. That was really great, really, really good. And we were in Saint-Pierre, Calvin's Cathedral, preaching, teaching every day. And we had special meetings in the chapel, Calvin's Auditoire, which was where the academy was launched, which was the prototype Reformed Theological Academy. And so these were super important places. I then designed a revision of the 95 Theses. I was encouraged, well, why don't you work on the 95 Theses and try and bring out something up to date? And my challenge was, okay, most of the original 95 Theses were on indulgences, most of which has been thoroughly won and dealt with. But Martin Luther and other reformers like Zwingli, Calvin, Tyndale, Knox, they all dealt with other aspects. So trying to put in succinct 95 points, the key points from all the reformers that apply to us today and the key scriptures that they emphasized. Sure. And so this we brought out 6 years ago. Wow. 2013, it was already finalized. And since then, it's been translated into Afrikaans, German, of course, French, Netherlands, and Spanish. So that's gone far and wide. Many printings, a 95 Theses for Reformation Day, also available online and so on. And so building with the books, The Greatest Century Reformation, look at the doctrines of people, 16 major character studies of 16 great reformers during the 16th century, and followed that up with trying to systematically work through different issues in preparation for the Reformation. So the way I saw it was, first of all, we need to call people back to the Bible. That's the main thing. Mm-hmm. But we need to start with Reformation revival of our own heart and soul, work through the family and the congregation, and ultimately, we need to be think about applying these principles to every area of life. So it's like, first thing is to reform ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So worked on through Reformation Society, lectures, studies, and so on, the Power of Prayer Handbook, because how do we revive our devotional life?
Mm-hmm.
Then saw the need, we need to revive our understanding of God's Word. So start with the Ten Commandments, God's perfect law of liberty. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The schoolmaster that leads us to Christ, that we can be justified by faith. So work through the Ten Commandments, preaching, teaching, writing, studied, published, revised, redid the whole thing, expanded and improved it, brought that out last year in final form. And then working through the Bible, we're getting people back to the Bible, working through each book of the Bible, and the Old Testament survey has been complete. Started to work on reforming our families, which my wife took the challenge of, and got about 8 people to contribute, reforming our families book. And then thinking reforming society, biblical principles for Africa. So lots of revisions that came out 2008. And so step by step, been building, getting building blocks to help with the Reformation 500. Mm. And all along the line, sending out our field workers to inspire the people with, let's get back the Bible. And this great inspiration of this historic event as a milestone to give people an idea of, okay, here's a milestone. We need to be teaching our people in preparation to appreciate this major historic milestone, Reformation 500, October 31st, 2017, last year. And we were actually in Wittenberg with a church council group with Jay Grimstead and others. And there's videos available of that and the presentations and guided tours and then the Schlosskirche, the Stadtkirche, and all these great places, Luther House and so on. And my son Christopher came, did the videoing, so we've got some good film footage of this. And to help launch it, we also brought the Euro Choir. The
wow.
Choir that they've got a large choir, it's over 100 young people from about 6 or 7 countries in Europe. They come from as far afield as Germany and Switzerland and Belgium and France and Netherlands and Romania. And here they were all together, and we got them in Cape Town. We took over the waterfront amphitheater for an hour on a Saturday, and we had the people were singing with us when they started singing Amazing Grace. The crowd, the people coming past, started to sing Amazing Grace along with great Beautiful. Songs. We got into the oldest church in the Southern Hemisphere, the oldest Protestant church still in use, Strand Street Lutheran Church. mm-hmm. and had a Reformation Sunday service with them. Worship service, church was packed. Eurochoir was just stunning, really great. We got into Frontship for the 31st of October. Now, this is 2016, the year before. So we were launching mm-hmm. the Reformation 500 year in Frontship with the Huguenot Monument and the guided tour of the museum and the Eurochoir sing as well, and a concert in the Dutch Reformed Church Hall. We had Reformation 500 conference last year in the Dutch Reformed Church in Frontship as well. So all of these have been part of the launching. And also part of it was getting our teams out all over Africa, as far as Sudan, preaching, teaching this, distributing 95 theses, calling people back to Reformation, teaching in Bible colleges. So we've had Reformation 500 conferences in Lusaka, the Justo Mali University, at Back to the Bible College in Mpumalanga, with people from 20 different countries represented there. And so we've been running these Reformation 500 conferences now all over, and with the big theme of Back to the Bible.
Sure, that's truly inspirational, and that's been a dream that's been in the pipeline for a long time, so that's very incredible. And now this whole Back to the Bible principle, that I suppose is based on the scripture alone principle from the five solas. Would you like to explain a bit more to us about the five solas, what they are, and how they fit into the Reformation?
Yes, so the five solas, these are the Latin battle cries of the Reformation: sola scriptura, sola gratia, sola fide, solus Christus, soli Deo gloria. Translated into English, sola scriptura, scripture alone is our ultimate authority. Sola gratia, salvation is by the grace of God alone. Sola fide, salvation is received by faith alone. Solus Christus, Christ alone is the head of the church, and salvation comes through the tones of Christ alone. And soli Deo gloria, which in South Africa we've got on our one rand coins.
Coin, yeah.
Soli Deo gloria, everything must be done to the glory of God alone. So those are the five battle cries of the Reformation, which Martin Luther launched and very much popularized. And many a time something could be happening somewhere in a church or something, and a person might just put out something like, sola gratia, because they were preaching, say, salvation by works, and he's, no, salvation by grace alone. These are battle cries, rallying cries, or sola scriptura. Today we've got so many people trying to come up with dreams and visions and all kinds of weird fake faith doctrines, and to call people, look, scripture alone is the ultimate authority. Where in the Bible do you read what you're talking about? And to call people back to, okay, can you show me in the Bible where it teaches this? That's very good. So authority is dealt with. Salvation is dealt with. The centrality of Christ is dealt with. And so you can imagine the context in which all this arose was the tremendous superstitions and corruption of the medieval Roman Catholic system. Papacy could be bought and sold for money. You could buy bishoprics and cardinals' hats, and they were literally selling salvation. I mean, there's Tetzel going along. As soon as the coin clinks in the chest, a soul flies up to heavenly rest. And people thought they could buy salvation. And amongst all the superstitious nonsense, people walking on their knees up and down stairs in Rome that they said Jesus walked on, even though he never went to Rome. But nevertheless, and as I said, this is a bone of St. Peter and a toenail of St. Crispin's. And here's an egg laid by the Holy Spirit when he's a bird. And here's some milk from the Virgin Mary. And here's some bread from the Last Supper. Dead
some
serious.
Splinters from the cross.
Enough nails that came from the cross to shoe all the horses in Saxony, they said. And enough wood from the cross to build an ark. And the amount, and as Martin Luther said, that 15 of the 12 apostles are buried in Spain. it's just incredible the amount of... but we shouldn't just laugh at the gullibility of people back then. It's not like we don't have some pretty gullible nonsense
Absolutely,
going on today.
Yeah.
If you wasted your time by tuning into God TV, Faith Broadcasting Network, or Trinity Broadcasting Network, you'll see no end of gullible nonsense.
Someone in Ghana claiming to be the fourth part of the Trinity. You don't have to be good at math to figure out that that's a little difficult.
Trinity needs three, yes. So you've got today people also offering indulgences. You send us in X amount of money and we'll pray for your healing, or send you some oil from the Mount of Olives or water from the River Jordan, and it just carries on. I remember when we had a major problem in our family, one of our children born with kidney failure, and a dear Catholic friend who's in the pro-life movement, a medical doctor, mind you, contacted us and said, I have a piece of the true cross of Christ, which I'm willing to lend you to lay on your son. And I had to say, thank you so very much for your thoughtfulness, but we are Protestants and no thank you. Honestly, today you still see the superstitions, people thinking that's some kind of thing. Or I've met people who've said, I went to this wrong place, baptized in the River Jordan. Weren't you baptized before? Yes, but this wasn't the River Jordan. And the same person next year, I was baptized in the River Jordan again. But weren't you baptized last year? Yes. Here's the certificate. And I think, what about one faith, one Lord, one baptism? We're not meant to be getting multiple baptisms. It kind of negates the whole message. But this idea that I went to Israel and I've got the certificate and this oil comes from the Mount of Olives, and therefore you anoint someone with this oil, now they're going to be healed. And this sounds like magic. This is superstition.
This isn't power and inanimate objects.
And unfortunately, it's not like this is going away. This is increasing. The amount of superstitious, unbiblical mumbo-jumbo out there, I think we in as much need of a Reformation Day as the church in the time of Luther.
Exactly. Yeah, that's exactly why. As you say, we have to get back to the Bible.
Yes.
So what is your goal? Where is this Reformation 500 going?
Right. So, of course, our vision is to glorify God by fulfilling the Great Commission.
Soli Deo Gloria.
Exactly. Now, the main thing is to keep the main thing, the main thing. And the main thing is to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. And the Lord has commanded us to fulfill His Great Commission, make disciples of all nations, teach obedience to all things He's commanded. To seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto us. So this is the big goal, the main vision. Now, by using these historic examples of excellence, like Martin Luther and Ulrich Zwingli, and using these great historic movements of back to the Bible, and the courageous stand against the corruption and unbiblical heresies of their times, we hope to inspire Christians by these examples of excellence, such as in the Greatest Century Reformation book, to inspire people to make a difference, to make a stand. One person can make a difference. My conscience must be kept, the Word of God. Well, first, we've got another Word of God. So obviously, it involves a lot of teaching, like working through every book in the Bible, which is part of the goal.
Mm-hmm.
Because just as Martin Luther called us back to the Bible, back to the five solas, back to Christ, back to salvation by grace alone, received by faith alone, and Scripture alone being ultimate authority, Ulrich Zwingli called the church back to reading through, preaching through, teaching and applying every book of the Bible, verse by verse, line by line, chapter by chapter. He dispensed with the Latin, dispensed with the Mass, brought the Bible and Bible teaching central, Bible reading and Bible teaching central in the church. And in Grossmünster, in Wittenberg, in Zurich, the great cathedral in Zurich, Switzerland, he set scriptural expository preaching as the main focus of every church service. And so if your church is doing expository Bible preaching, you can praise God for Ulrich Zwingli launching that 500 years ago, as of January next year, 2019. Now, many churches aren't doing expository preaching. And in fact, some people find preaching and teaching quite a burden and quite nerve-wracking things, Saturday night, racking their mind, what can I deal with tomorrow, and so on. The great thing about expository preaching is we don't choose the topic. The Scripture chooses the topic. We don't just deal with our favorite things. We deal with things that we wouldn't normally deal with. Because if you work through every book in the Bible, you're going to have to tackle every doctrine, even the ones you don't like, even the ones you don't understand. It forced us to go, and we're not setting the agenda or letting the culture set the agenda. We're letting God's Word set the agenda. And it's extraordinary how week by week you can find what, as you're going through, you know, how many people go through Philemon or Nahum or Obadiah. But there's
those books in the Bible?
66 books in the Bible, and most of us have only read maybe about 12 or so, actually. So I had a wonderful Old Testament professor at Baptist Theological College, Professor Fritz House, and he used to challenge people, how many of you have read through the whole Bible? And remember, it was at a chapel, so all 3 years were there, and as hands started up, one person said, you mean the New Testament? He said, no, I mean the whole Bible. Hands went down all over the college. some people had read the whole New Testament, but not many had read the whole Bible. In fact, I think there are only two of us who could raise our hands for that, which is sad because we were training ministers. And I know there's many, many ministers who have not yet read the whole Bible. And we know that because we ask these questions at our camps and our courses. And we have Bible exams that we take even to Bible colleges. We've had Bible college lecturers and principals failing the Bible exam. And our Bible exam's not that difficult. It's multiple choice. It's really, I mean, the answers are there if they could just recognize them. And so plainly, there's a lot of unbiblical things going on in the churches. So to call our churches back the Bible is really important. That's so what we aim to do is encourage those who are expository preaching, provide them with better tools. And to help those who have no idea how to do it and don't even know where to start. And that's why earlier this year, three of our team produced the Biblical Preaching Handbook, which is another great tool for this Reformation 500 movement. And it is a great book, 110 pages, a whole lot of illustrations, going through a mountain of good material, giving practical steps, how to preach, how not to preach, how to do expository preaching, how to do biblical interpretation, how to consider the context, the observation, interpretation, theological principles, the discovery Bible method, effective public speaking ideas, and some case studies and sermon examples. And so this biblical preaching handbook, our team has been distributing to people who attended our seminars and workshops and conferences all the way from Namibia to Tanzania and Zimbabwe and Zambia and Malawi, and now they're on the way to Swaziland. And it's our goal to get this in the hands of all the Christian Action Network members. We've got at the moment 130 member organizations and denominations and missions around over 20 countries in Africa who are members of the Christian Action Network. And so when people join the Christian Action Network, every time we bring out a new book, they get a complimentary copy. And that's one way of helping to build up what we call libraries for pastors. Many pastors in Africa don't have a library and don't have resources.
Or access to it. Yeah.
Right. And so for us to put in the hands some good books so they know if they come to a Frontline Fellowship Mission conference camp source, they'll always go back with at least one book. Mm. And if they come to our Great Commission course, they'll go back with quite a few.
Many.
Yes.
I've now got a library.
Indeed.
Yeah. That's incredible. So then, what are some practical steps that we can take towards Reformation, maybe personally, in our churches, in our communities?
Well, there's a whole lot of practical things we can do. I think the first thing is personal Reformation. So I think scheduling time with God in your diary, because if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. And if something is important, it needs to be actually in our diary, however that may be. So we need good habits. Remember when I first came from Rhodesia as a non-Christian into South Africa, I was struck by Book of Fat, the Afrikaans practice of getting the book, the Bible, and after supper, calling in everyone, even if they're farmers, and get the farm laborers from outside, and they all join in, and the oldest man, maybe the grandfather, the father, he reads the Bible, and they pray, or they might sing hymn or psalm as well. So Bible before breakfast, or Bible before lunch, or Bible after supper, or Bible before supper, whatever suits in your context and situation, family, but making the Bible part of a daily routine. And then joining a Bible study or starting one. I remember a pastor in Romania saying to me, we don't count our members by who attends a Sunday service. We count our members by how many attend a Bible study in the midweek service. And that's a good principle. So also, I think read a psalm a day. The Psalms are the prayer book of the Bible, the hymn book of the Bible, the heart of the Bible, the biggest book of the Bible, the most quoted part of the Bible in the Gospels. Jesus quoted more from the Psalms than any other book in the Old Testament. The Psalms have always been the prayer book and hymn book of the church. So we should let the word of Christ dwell in us richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns, in spiritual songs, singing gratitude in your hearts to the Lord. So we brought out last year the Livingston Fellowship Reformation 500 hymn book with over 140 hymns, great hymns of the faith. Many people have come to our camps or courses and said, you know, this is the first time I've ever sung a hymn. Wow. And it's sad that we're losing thousands of years of church history and heritage by just going for the latest modern choruses and fads, which they've got their place in youth groups and camps and so on. But the hymns are treasury.
Absolutely.
And it's like comparing a cathedral with a prefab. The hymns just have so much in it. And when you're singing the same hymns that Martin Luther sang 500 years ago, or King Alfred the Great 1,100 years ago, it just makes it so much more when you say, Our Father, and we believe in God the Father Almighty. You're uniting yourself with the church through the ages.
Mm.
And the Reformers had this idea. Martin Luther said, if you want to revive your prayer life, pray the Psalms. Open a Bible in the middle. Turn to the biggest book of the Bible. Start to pray the Psalms. Make them your prayers. Make them your words. And the Psalms have everything in it. Every single thing from thanksgiving, grief, repentance, joy, fear. It's all in there. And it's scriptural ways of tackling every problem we've got. So praying the Psalms, so important. And I think also to start systematically work through every book in the Bible. So if you read just one chapter of the Bible a day, you'll get through the whole Bible in 4 years. If you read four chapters of the Bible a day, you can get through the whole Bible in 1 year. Now, if you think of, for example, in the Psalms you get worship, in the Proverbs you get wisdom. We all need worship every day, and we need wisdom. So if you read a psalm for worship each day and a proverb, now there's 150 psalms, so that would take you 5 months just to pray one psalm a day. Maybe you'd want to break up Psalm 119, but nevertheless, so let's say 6 months. And Proverbs, there's 31 chapters of Proverbs, one for every day of the month.
Sure.
And once you finish, start again, because Proverbs is, we need that wisdom every day.
Mm.
So basically getting ourselves back to the Bible and investing in our mind, and then I think starting to read Christian biographies, such as the Reformers. Like, we've got in the Greatest Century Reformation chapters on the pre-Reformers, Wycliffe and Huss, and the Waldensian movements on, and the great reformers like Martin Luther and Ulrich Zwingli and William Tyndale and William Farrell, John Calvin, and some of the lesser known reformers that somebody might not have heard of, like Martin Bucer and Pierre Ferret, really dynamic characters. But so I think getting into the biographies, that's key, and then starting to introduce this to our churches, whether you've got a youth group or a workplace prayer meeting, for your church, midweek, whatever you join, or maybe you don't have one around, you're in an isolated place, maybe you're working in Saudi Arabia and there's no church around, well, you can invite some of your friends around and have a home Bible study fellowship. Mm. So the point is getting people back to the Bible, and there's some great resources we're putting on the webs and good books of people available. And those who say, well, you know, I don't really have time for that, well, we're putting our lectures in the Reformation Society on sermon audio. And so you can download them onto an MP3 and listen to them in your car, or on your MP3 as you cycling to work. Yes. So we're making it available in all sorts of ways. Audio, video, printed, it's on the webs. So there's no reason for a person not have the great resources, even if you are based in Oman, Qatar, or Outer Mongolia.
Exactly, yeah. Okay, that's beautiful. And what then, we've obviously been discussing how we need to get back to the Bible. We need to have this whole change. But we've also been discussing a lot recently about revolution. How is Reformation different to revolution?
Well, last year, 2017, was not only the 500th anniversary of the Reformation launched by Martin Luther, it was the 100th anniversary of the revolution launched by Vladimir Lenin, the Bolshevik Revolution in Russia. And so last year we had a revolution or Reformation option. And that was actually a good contrast. Interesting, there was nowhere in Russia that they were celebrating the 100th anniversary of the Russian Revolution, after all they suffered under.
But
the EFF in South Africa was organizing the 100th anniversary of the Great October Revolution. So you've got to be kidding. You obviously know nothing about it. None of you lived under it. Otherwise, you wouldn't be celebrating it. Because in Russia, the grandchildren of the people who suffered under it, they're not celebrating it. They might be learning some lessons about it, but not anything to celebrate. So revolution is about greed and envy and malice and hatred and destruction and theft, actually. I mean, revolutions are very satanic, because Karl Marx, the founder of communist theory from Marxist Manifesto of 1848, he was a Satanist. He actually was an occultist who, in his own writing, said that he wanted to destroy the world and walk amongst its ruins and bring down the name of God. And the whole motto of the Bolshevik Revolution was, let us chase the capitalists from the earth and God from heaven. And they even said, we wage war against God to snatch believers from him. So it was a very anti-Christian view to the revolution, whereas Reformation is all about getting back to the Bible. Now, there's a big difference between Reformation and Revival. We talk about working for Reformation and praying for revival. The point is, revival is something that can only come from God. Mm. You and I cannot organize it. We cannot schedule it. The Americans think they can schedule revivals in some places, but biblically you can't schedule a revival. A revival is a sovereign move of Almighty God. We can pray for it, but we certainly can't bring it about. But Reformation is our job. It's our duty. It's our responsibility. So we can work for Reformation, but we can only pray for revival. Mm. So Reformation is our duty to get back to the Bible. Revival is God's sovereign work, which sometimes he sends in response to people's earnest repentance and reformation and restitution and whatever. So basically the emphasis here is between our part and God's part. When we do everything we can, then we can trust God to do what we cannot.
Mm. That's beautiful. And as you say, revolution is definitely more about greed and what I can get out of it and tearing down and destruction, whereas reformation is the opposite. It's building up and working for the good of the people and glorifying God and doing it all. So then what does fire stand for? You talk about your Fire 500 manual, and what is fire?
Yes, so fire is Fellowship for International Reformation and Evangelism. So we've got this fire manual, Fellowship for International Reformation and Evangelism. We often think of the need for fire. I mean, there's mountains of ice to melt, just for starters. Some people have the truth on ice in the deep freeze. Well, that's not much good. The symbol of reformer John Calvin was a heart aflame in the hands of God. Heart aflame. He called the church the Fellowship of the Flaming Heart. And there's a lot of people today who call themselves Calvinist or Reformed who would be more like the chosen frozen. they're not exactly on fire. But to John Calvin, we should have the truth on fire. So the idea of this, a Fellowship for International Reformation Evangelism, it's been launched as part of the Coalition Revival, which is based in California State, and part of the Reformation Society, which is based in Cape Town, South Africa. And together with the Coalition Revival, we're working together on this to have a Fellowship for International Reformation Evangelism, trying to get regional conferences. The goal is to get, if each city could organize a local conference of pastors, teachers, lecturers, colleges, and so on, ministry people, missionaries, to have a Back to the Bible type conference. And if each country could have some kind of Reformation 500 conference, and maybe regional, like in Africa, Europe, Asia, South America, and so on, conferences. And then the goal is next year in July 2019, there's the Reformation 500 Church Council in Zurich.
Mm-hmm.
Very close to where Ulrich Zwingli launched the Back to Biblical Exposition, line by line, verse by verse. So we are inviting church leaders, representatives of denominations, Bible colleges, and missions to apply to Coalition Revival to come to Zurich in 2019 and to Worms in 2021 to look at the problems, the challenges that are facing us around the world, and how can we have a faithful biblical response to these different issues. And they've identified 24 major issues that we need to address. And I mean, you can see marriage is under attack. There's some people trying to redefine marriage. If you said in Canada, well, marriage can only be between a man and a woman, you could be had up for hate speech and a thought crime. Because you would have thought, you've got to be kidding. Isn't this saying the obvious? Marriage can only be between a man and a woman. But in some places, that's now considered a thought crime. You can't say that. So we've got to come up with a very clear amount of statements on how the Bible applies to the sanctity of life, to deal with abortion, for example, euthanasia, marriage, divorce and remarriage, homosexuality, gender confusion. For you to say, well, there can only be two genders, male and female, in some places now is a thought crime. Some people are saying there's 24, some are saying there's
72.
There's not even that many letters in the alphabet. How do they get that? I mean, it's just bizarre. So we've got people who, of course, trying to redefine everything from marriage to genders and trying to rewrite the Bible in some places and having Bibles where, oh, well, we're going to change this and change. You can't touch the Bible. It is inerrant, God inspired. It's our authority.
And if you meddle with that.
Yeah. So there's all sorts of things, from contextualization and missions to discipline of children, freedom of expression. there's all kinds of threats. And so the Coalition Revival has been getting very respected church leaders together. And I'm talking about people like James Kennedy, R.C. Sproul, the top theological leaders that you can think in the world, and great authors from George Grant and Gary DeMar and many others have been involved in putting these things together. And we've got Professor Krabendam and others. So from all over the world, we've got theologians and academics who've been working on different policy documents, affirmations and denials, what the Bible teaches, what it denies, and giving basically a bold statement to help churches and individuals battling with these issues, whether they're ethical issues mm-hmm. like abortion, when does life begin, all the way through to euthanasia, or whether they are issues dealing with the family and education. And so what we are calling for is people who are being called by God to represent their country or their church denomination, mission or college, to apply to come through to Zurich in July 15th to 20th of July 2019 and to Worms in 2021 to be able to help hammer out, approve, endorse, fine-tune, hone, shape, mm. perfect these statements that we work on, so that the church can give a united voice that's thoroughly biblical and in keeping with our Christian heritage going back to the apostles.
That's so inspirational. We must definitely keep that in our prayers, that that meeting will go well and, as you say, stay focused on the scriptures. So then you have now just redone the Greatest Century of Reformation book. What is the Greatest Century of Reformation, and why would you call it the Greatest Century of Reformation?
Well, as a homeschooling father who was getting very frustrated with the history books being provided by even Christian curriculum providers and thinking, oh, this looks so often like the same selection of events and people as what the world does, maybe with a scripture verse and a prayer added, but that doesn't make it Christian history, providential mm. history. So I started to work through history books aimed especially at home educators on the Greatest Century of Reformation, 16th century, mm-hmm. the greatest and 16 biographies of the 16 greatest reformers of the 16th century, with a whole lot of appendixes and the doctrines and practicals and mm-hmm. things like that. And then the Greatest Century of Missions, 19th century. I'd be working on the Greatest Century of Persecution, which would be the 20th century, still in work in progress. The Greatest Century of the Puritans, that's the 17th century. The Greatest Century of Revival, that's the 18th century. Mm-hmm. And so working my way through, and of course after that we'll work our way back. So the last five centuries is my first goal. And of course with discussion and study questions and exams that go along with it, and maps and charts. I think people learn best from examples of excellence. Personality mm-hmm. studies, character studies, very visual of course, so that's why we've put together also audios, PowerPoints, videos now increasingly with screen captures of these presentations, and to help home educators to make this part of the curriculum. Why should I be studying the idols of the New World Order? Who cares about the idols that the communists and the UN want us to worship? We should be learning from Christian, God-fearing examples, because we want to bring up our children who've been thinking on things that are noble and excellent and of good report. Mm. So it's an educational resource. And I think for many people, if they want to know, how do I get started in Reformation 500, that's probably the first book. Greatest Century Reformation, then you've got the history, the character studies, the doctrine, the timeline, the events, the whole thing, and what we can practically do to work for Reformation today.
So that is a fabulous question. How can people get involved? How can they start conferences, meetings? How can people get involved with the Reformation?
Well, first thing is to be informed. So get on a mailing list. We've got a Coalition Revival mailing list. You email us here at mission@frontline.org.za, mission@frontline.org.za, and get on the mailing list, say, put me on the Coalition Revival mailing list. So we'll then send out regular updates on what's going on. Then you go and you visit some of the key websites that we've got. And we've put together a number of websites, and they've all got their purposes. So there is the reform500.org. That's a very straightforward one that's got the vision and a lot of these Coalition Revival documents, reform500.org. And that's got a whole mountain of everything from 95 theses, the Rebuilding Civilization, the Bible, Greatest Century Reformation book, the Fire Manual, and so on. We've got our very large ReformationEssay.org website, which has got lectures, character studies of the last 13 years of the Reformation Society every Thursday night meeting. You can imagine it. We've got audios, we've got videos, we've got PowerPoints, we've got documents, we've got tracks, we've got the 95 Theses for Reformation Day in the different languages that you can download and share. So I think the first thing is get informed. Get on the mailing list. Get on the emailing list. We're putting out a regular quarterly magazine called Christian Action, which tackles a lot of these Reformation issues and practicals too. So you can get hard copies as well if you want, or download it off the web internet through just digitally. Then there is the reformation.net website, which is Coalition Revival's website that's got a whole lot of these major documents being put together, and that's more theological. They've also got the International Church Council Project, and that's churchcouncil.org. Churchcouncil.org has got all these things on the inerrancy of Scripture and other great documents on sanctity of life and so on, which you can download, share with your group, especially if you're in Bible college and so on. It's aimed more at the theologians and the church leaders. Our mission, dealing with just reaching Africa for Christ and working for Reformation Revival in Africa, that's frontlinemissionsa.org. And from a journalism point of view, our HMS, School of Christian Journalism, .org website, HMS stands for Henry Morton Stanley. So HMS, School of Christian Journalism.org, has got a lot of things on the problems that we're facing with some of the solutions. How Marxists work to subvert society, what we can do to resist revolution, and everything from terrorism through to propaganda, disinformation. So to understand the problems and how we can tackle and expose what's evil in the world, that's where the Henry Morton Stanley School of Christian Journalism comes in heavily. For missions, it's frontlinemissionsa.org. For history, especially for homeschoolers, reformationsa.org. If you're a church leader, churchcouncil.org, and you want to work for Reformation, be part of the whole thing, find materials to download that you can educate your people, well, the reform500.org. So you've got these resources. If you only get one right, there's normally links from the one to the others. So if you just want one email to start with, well, you can email us at info@reformation.net. info@reformation.net, that is one of the emails, or mission@frontline.org for our mission. We've got full-time people here who can quickly respond to your needs.
Mm, fabulous. And then you've also written an Old Testament survey book, and you're currently working on a New Testament survey to help people get back to the Bible.
Yes, this has been quite a project. It's been exciting. It's been a challenge. Now, those people are familiar with Martin Lloyd-Jones. This is the opposite. Martin Lloyd-Jones took 12 years to preach through the book of Romans. Now, that's thorough. And it just shows you how much it is in there. I'm doing the opposite. I'm seeking to, in one chapter, in one sermon or lecture, give an overview of the heart and soul of each book of the Bible, which for some small books of the Bible, like Philemon last week, was easier. For big books like Hebrews, like the coming up this Sunday, hard. Revelation, almost insurmountable, Mount Everest. But we've gotten through Isaiah and some of the greatest books of the Bible too. And so what we've got here now, in fact, I've put the Psalms in four chapters because that was just impossible to do in one. Psalms are so big. So what we've got is the Old Testament survey. We've already got here going through every book of the Old Testament, and we've got charts and timelines and a whole lot of pictures and other things to just help a person get to the heart of it. So if you are, say, wanting to either understand for yourself personally or teach and train your students at college or your children at your school or homeschool, or as a pastor want to start preaching through every book of the Bible, this will be possible. Okay, you will not be able to do it in a year. It's taken me already 6 years to get this far.
Wow.
And by the end of this year, we will be there. So I started in the beginning of 2012. Started working my way through each book in the Old Testament. Not that I've done every single Sunday, because sometimes it took longer to study.
Mm-hmm.
But what we've got now is we're up to Philemon. Up to Philemon, I've got only 9 more books of the Bible to go, which by God's grace will finish by the end of the year. So the goal is by January next year, we will be able to offer the whole New Testament as well, survey. So these books are very helpful, and they also come with an audio. You can get the audio, which has got every sermon, audio, or lecture. It's more like a lecture. On audio MP3s, and then the book would also be a PDF and audio visual things. And after that, we'll start working on some PowerPoints to help teach some parts of it. But it's a huge project, but I think every Bible college and every homeschool should be wanting to go through every book in the Bible. And this makes it simple and accessible.
Mm. And it's also a lovely tool for new believers as well, as it can be quite daunting to pick up the Bible and say, well, where do I start? So that's definitely a wonderful tool. So are there any upcoming events that people can attend if they would like to get more involved?
Certainly. So the big one is 31st of October. Every 31 October, we should be having a Reformation Day celebration. Or if it's a case of your church, you might say, well, the closest Sunday to 31 October, because that's when Martin Luther launched the Reformation. And Reformation Day is an official holiday, by the way, in not just Germany, but even Austria, which is a Catholic country. For the Protestants, I've got a Austrian sister-in-law who gets it off from school because she's Protestant. Even though it's a Catholic country, they recognize 31 October as a holiday for Protestants, which means special services in many countries in the world, especially in Scandinavian countries and so on too. Well, we don't have that, but we go to, if you live anywhere near Cape Town, we go to Franschhoek, to the Huguenot Monument and the Huguenot Museum from 10 to 11 on the 31 October. I always do a guided tour of the Huguenot Monument for homeschoolers and their parents and others who are interested. And then at 12 noon, we have a Reformation celebration service at the Huguenot Monument. And while we don't have the Euro Choir with us this year, we'll still have a great time. And I would encourage you to organize something like this in your church or venue close to you. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, next year, in July, there'll be a gathering in Zurich for the church council leaders. But that's an invitation only. One can apply for that if one represents it. Ministry or church or something like that. And we will also be trying to organize before the end of this year, we haven't got a date yet, a Reformation 500 Back to the Bible or Back to Biblical Exposition conference in Cape Town. So we're still trying to find a good date that'll suit many people. Maybe it'll be sometime in later November.
Fabulous. Well, thank you very much, Dr. Hammond. And I definitely encourage people to try and get a hold of some of these resources, as they're very useful. And let's get back to the Bible and let's make a bold stand for these biblical principles in our schools, in our homes, in our communities, as we are definitely living in a day of compromise and confusion.
Contend earnestly for the faith, which was once for all delivered to the saints.
Beautiful. Thank you very much, Dr. Hammond. Good evening.